Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
This life has come alive for God and for Christ. There's a fresh new breezes blowing that are cleansing and life-giving. So that's where we begin. My life, your life, Lord, I repent. Let me start right now as a teenager, a boy, a girl, a parent and say, you know, I'd love to do it again. I'd love to do it again in many areas, but let's start right now being God-fearing folks.
The truth is, success can be dangerous to our spiritual health. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, The Free Enterprise System, A Biblical Perspective, and encourages you to seek God instead of elevating any system or success above Him. That's coming up in just a moment on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young, we want to help you make 2021 a bright year in your walk with Christ by sending you a special resource called the Illuminate Journal. As Dr. Young will tell you, journaling is a powerful way to enrich your spiritual life, and this first month of the new year is the perfect time to get started. Each page of this beautiful journal contains inspirational scripture and space for you to record all God is doing in your life. And we're excited to send you a copy as thanks for your gift of renewed support to help encourage more people in 2021 with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to request your copy of the Illuminate Journal when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Free Enterprise System, A Biblical Perspective, Part 2.
We all love Horatio Alger stories, rags to riches. Americans love that, but in other countries, let me tell you, the Horatio Alger story is not very popular. Oh, no. You got to keep some people down and oppressed, and boy, they don't have a chance. But boy, we have a Lot. Let's interview him. Man, here he is now in Sodom. Lot, I want to ask you a question as a reporter. How has moving to Sodom affected your life? He said, oh, I can't even describe it. He said, I'm mayor. He said, I walk with the top people in Sodom. He says, I can get along with people. I'm not like Father Abraham. You know, he's sort of old-fashioned and too religious. And I'm religious, but I'm not like, man, moving to Sodom has been the best thing that ever happened to me. He said, well, Lot, I've got another question for you. I can understand that, but let me ask you, have you made a difference in Sodom? You know, you think differently from the inhabitants of Sodom. Have you made a difference? He said, I hope so. They know I keep my word. They know I'm honest. They know my family is different from their family. We're not a part of the LGBTQ community that primarily made up the sexual life of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, but you know, I don't judge them, they don't judge me, and they go their way, and you know, it's working out fine, I think. Well, Lot, I want to ask you, how's this affected your family? How much money did you make? Well, he said, I don't want to brag, but you know, in a couple of years, I'm going to be wealthier than Abraham. Because I moved to Sodom. Man, I've doubled and tripled all my flock. I have land. Oh, yeah. By the way, Lot, what about your family? He said, my family is doing super. He said, you know, my wife, Ms. Lot, she's come here. She came from a rural background, and she's the salt of the earth. But, you know, she fits right in with the upper class. She likes being first lady of Sodom. And, you know, she has a lot of clothes and shopping. And, man, she just loves it. And what about your daughters? Well, you know, they're young, but I've already got a marriage arranged with one of the leading citizens' son there in Gomorrah and one of the leading citizens here in Sodom. Man, my daughters are thriving. Well, that's pretty good. Now let's look at the rest of the story. All of a sudden, we see God is beginning to, I think, send shots across the bow of Lot, you know, a warning shot. And now you have four kings that come down and conquered Sodom and Gomorrah, take all the possessions, take Lot and his family and all his possessions, and they're going away, and Abraham, that old-fashioned religious fanatic there out in the boondocks, the Bedouin moving around, he hears about that of Lot, and he takes all of his troops, all of his family. He goes down and defeats those four kings and takes back all those kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and takes Lot and his family and reinstates them back there in Sodom. You think maybe Lot would have said, you know, Abraham's life isn't all bad, and I'm sort of vulnerable here with all this prosperity and decadence and might makes right, but he didn't. So time goes by, and suddenly the Bible says the stench of immorality and decadence, exploitation of children, of people, of individual rights goes all the way up to heaven. And God tells Abraham, my judging hand is going to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, in an interesting verse, asks God, will the judge of all the earth do something that is unjust? What's he saying? He's saying, will God wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah if there are some righteous people there? And here we see Abraham praying, dealing with God, trying to intercede on behalf of Lot, his family, and those decadent cities. He begins to pray, and he negotiates with God. He said, God, suppose there are just 50 righteous in Sodom, just 50 people. Will you not spare them? And God says, sure, I would spare them if you can find 50 righteous. Looked around, they couldn't find 50. Abe said, well, suppose they're 45. Well, you know, you're not going to just five short. Surely you would spare the city. And God says, no, there's not even 45 righteous people there. What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? There are six supposes there. And finally, he said, if they're just 10 in Sodom, wouldn't you spare the city? Just 10. And then negotiation stops. The Bible's silent. What happened? There were not 10 righteous in those cities. The only one righteous there was Lot, and he was in his carnality, deemed somehow to be righteous. And then those angels leave Abraham, and they go into Sodom. They're in the marketplace there, and Mayor Lot greets them and bows down in Oriental fashion. And they say they're going to spend a night there in the square. And Lot says, no, spend a night with me. And he insists that they come in his home. And when they get in his home and night falls, here you have all the lustful men. The Bible says it dramatically and tragically here, what took place. Chapter 19 of Genesis. And they called to Lot. They said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations, sexual relations with them. But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters, said Lot, who have not had relations with man. please let me bring them out to you and you do with them whatever you like. Only do not do nothing to these men, inasmuch they have come under my shelter for roof. Lot sells out his own daughters morally in order to keep the pride of hospitality that all the Hebrews were known for. Amazing, isn't it? And they said, the Sodomites, stand aside, furthermore, they said, this one has come to us as an alien. Well, he thought he was a part of them now. The whole lot, you're an alien. You're not one of us anyway. And then he says, and already you're acting like a judge. Now we'll treat you, Lot, worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break down the door. What are we saying here? We're saying live and let live. We live in a free moral country, a society. You can choose your life, make your own decisions. But we say your decisions are your decisions. And God does the judging. We see that here. If we judge, by the way, we are to judge, but when you and I judge, we're to be judged by the same standards. That's what the Bible teaches. It doesn't say judge not. It says judge not that you be not judged. If you and I judge, we're judged by those same standards. That's where you have to be careful with that judgment. And then he moves on and they say, Lot, you're judging us. Why, you've accepted us, you've applauded our lifestyle, and now you're judging us because you won't let us literally rape these visitors who are here. What happened then? The angels reached out their hand and all of those predators there were temporarily blinded, and they get Lot and his wife and his daughters, the two angels, and they begin to take them out of the city. One passage says, Lot lingered. Oh, he had a lot there. And they drug them out of the city until finally Lot's wife, Mrs. Lot, hesitated. And instruction was given, don't look back. By the way, archaeologists have gone and looked at this particular period of time, and there is a rift there. And without question, there was a gigantic earthquake. Hail, fire, and damnation and destruction there at this period of time. That has been verified. The hand of God bringing judgment on those people. They said, don't look back. And Mrs. Lot couldn't resist. She looked back and she said, oh, I don't want to leave Neiman Marcus. And she turned to a pillar of salt. Josephus, the historian, said that he went there and he saw that pillar later on in history, but that's neither here nor there. And Lot now takes his daughters and he drags them out. He says, let's go to Zoar, sort of miniature like Sodom. And then finally ends up in a cave with his daughters way back in the back of the cave. And it's dark. And his daughters say, you know, there's no men here. We can't perpetuate our family. So they got Lot drunk on wine. And they had intimate relation with him. And the younger and older daughter conceived. One conceived a boy named Moab. Another conceived a boy named Ammon. And if you read on in biblical history, the Moabites and the Ammonites, they plagued and harassed the Israelites and godly people for generations and generations to come. And now here is old Lot in the back of a cave. Whoop! This is the rags to riches Horatio Alger, Mayor Lot, now at the end of his life. Lot, I want to interview you again and ask you, you know, the same questions. On the basis of your choice to go to Sodom, how did it affect you, Lot? I lost. My life is destroyed, disgraced, empty. I went to Sodom, but Sodom got into me. Well, Lot, did you make a difference? Did you make any difference in the moral climate of Sodom with your ethics? He said, I made no difference. I wish I could. They ended up thinking I was judging them when I was trying to protect people from their sexual exploitation of them. These angels, these visitors, he said, I didn't make any difference. Well, Lot, let me ask you, what about your family? Surely, tell me about your family. Well, I lost my wife. She was swallowed up in the judgment of God. My daughters, you see, I sold my daughters out. I offered them to all these sexual predators, and then they turned on me. Is it any wonder they turned on me and had incestuous relationships? I've lost all my family. Well, Lot, you know, you were the wealthiest man in that part of the country. You had land and sheep and flocks. And how did all that come out? How did that work for you? I know all this happened to you. What about your wealth? Let me comment on Lot's wealth. Last Christmas, I was right there close to this spot. Right there. I was there. You can look there and see where Sodom and Gomorrah was at the bottom of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is aptly named because nothing lives in the Dead Sea because of the high salt content. And you can look all over that area and you can't see a living thing, not a sprout, a green, or anything live. It is totally blighted. And at the bottom of the Dead Sea, where Sodom and Gomorrah were, it is 1,300 feet below sea level. It's the lowest spot on the face of the earth. What about all your stuff, Lot? Zip. I lost it all. Lot, tragically, is a modern man, a modern capitalist. I've been pastor of Second Family for 40 years. I've seen young couples come in. Boy, they had a gleam in their eye. They went to church. Their kids went to Bible study. Man, they loved God. They were stewards of their possession. They were here. They were praying. But you know, a bad thing happened. They became, in some degree, successful. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 100 people that can handle failure before you find one person that can godly handle success. And various degrees of success, you know, the kids, they had all kind of activities on Sunday, and they weren't as faithful as they used to be, and now they were able to go and travel and go to the ball games and go to all the activities and get caught up in everything around metropolitan Houston, and boy, and all of a sudden they came every Sunday, well, once a week and periodically, and they just sort of gradually moved away, and suddenly they've taken up residence in their own Sodom. And their kids go off to school and they pledge a sorority and a fraternity, or they go in the military, and they're caught up in a godless lifestyle. Mom and dad say, "Oh, dear Lord, what happened to our kids? I was not very lucky." Raising godly kids has nothing to do with luck, ladies and gentlemen. It's intentionality with mom and dad. Otherwise, we have a lot of lots running around our area. That tragic story of Lot has been repeated hundreds of times, and I've witnessed it. I can tell you, it genuinely breaks my heart. I spent all week trying to figure out what to say at the end of this Horatio Alger story, Lot. All I can say is what we prayed at the beginning. You want forgiveness, second chance? You have to repent. Lord, forgive me for this negligent thing. Oh, no, doesn't worry. We don't go to him asking for forgiveness. We go there and repent. We turn around and turn away from those mistakes and choices we have made. And when we turn away and repent, then Christ comes with grace and forgiveness. There is no forgiveness about repentance. Go and sin no more. There's no cheap grace. So that's where we begin. My life, your life, Lord, I repent. Let me start right now as a teenager, a boy, a girl, a parent, and say, you know, I'd love to do it again. I'd love to do it again in many areas, but let's start right now being God-fearing folks. and being those who give the highest priority to worship, have an altar in your house. You see, Sodom and Gomorrah isn't out somewhere. Sodom and Gomorrah has come into your house, into my house. Their ways, the prince of the power of the air, comes right in your house. Sodom is in your house, in my house. We better have an altar in our house, as well as an altar in worship in church every Lord's Day. You see, we have an altar in our house, and we go to that altar, we spend time at that altar, and we go to the Lord's house on Sunday. All of a sudden, our kids, as well as our wives, our husbands, they'll say, you know, something has happened in this life. This life has come alive for God and for Christ. There's a fresh new breezes blowing that are cleansing and life-giving. So, America, wake up. Texas, wake up. My house, your house, wake up. Build an altar. Visit that altar every single day.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, today's sermon reminds me of the story of the rich young ruler, whose love of his possessions kept him from truly following Jesus and inheriting eternal life. How can we avoid that same mistake today?
Well, number one, the rich young ruler lived a very highly moral life. You see, he said, I've kept all the commandments, and he named the commandments that deal in human relationships. He didn't name the first commandments, the one that deals with our relationship with God. And it's easy for us to block our relationship with the Lord and to hold back and not surrender all. Every morning I get up, I hit my knees along with my wife, Lisa, on the bed. Every night we hit our knees right by the bed and we pray one little prayer among other prayers that we utter. Lord, I surrender to you. That's where you begin. Surrender to him. That's what the rich young ruler couldn't do. But he went to the right person at the right time with the right attitude, and he had the right life, the rich young ruler. But yet he wouldn't surrender that which kept him from walking with Jesus. It was his wealth. Does it mean we have to throw away all of our means in order to walk with Jesus? Yes, if your wealth or your position is the center of your life, if it's idolatrous in your life. That was the rich young ruler's idol. Therefore, Jesus knew he could not follow him and still have wealth and position as his idol. What's your idol? Ask the Lord if there's anything you're putting ahead of him, and then he'll deal with that, and then you'll be able, as the rich young ruler was unable to, walk with Jesus.
Thank you, Dr. Young.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you in your winning walk with Christ. And we'd love to equip you even more at the start of this new year by sending you a special resource called the Illuminate Journal. Journaling is a powerful way to enrich your walk with the Lord and brighten up your life as you remember all he has done and continues to do for you. So let God fill your heart with gratitude this year and get your copy of the Illuminate Journal when you give a gift to help keep this program going strong. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255, or text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow and hear Dr. Young share the key to becoming a better spouse, and it's not about trying harder.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255.